So we're in the season of Lent, and if you don't know what that means, or you're new or visiting for the first time, you need to go back several weeks. We started this five weeks ago, and we started this series where we're walking through the story of Exodus during Lent, and at the very beginning of the series explained what Lent is and what it means and what it's all about and what we're doing as a church. So again, if you missed that or you're just jumping in, you can always go online and just go back and listen to that first message. But we're going to look at a specific story today that if you're in business or you are in some sort of management position where you manage people or you're in any kind of leadership role, it's going to be especially relevant for you. Also, if you're at a place in life where you feel worn out, where you feel tired, where you feel like you're almost running on empty and you're always trying to catch up, or you're always running behind, then this story is going to be really relevant for you as well. Even if you're someone who is sort of managing everything and has everything together, and other people look at you and say, man, how does he do it? Or how does she seem to just get everything done? Then this story will mean a lot to you as well. In fact, I actually think about 95% of us here today, this will be a very practical and relevant story for. Now, we're in this book of Exodus where the Israelites we saw last week, and we actually just sang about it, the Israelites were delivered and rescued from slavery in Egypt. And they realized pretty quickly, though, that life in the wilderness wasn't going to be that easy, and that they were going to have to be just as dependent on God in the wilderness as they were when they cried out to him in Egypt. And so they wander in the wilderness for about a month, and they eventually come to the foot of Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is this place, if you remember, about a year before that, Moses had had this burning bush experience with God, where God had confronted him and said, you're going to go back to Egypt, you're going to lead the people out, and in fact, everybody, you and all the people, you're going to come back to this very mountain and worship and serve me here. And so Moses comes back to that place, and everyone's camped there. And while they're there, Moses' father-in-law visits. Moses' father-in-law, his name is Jethro. He's from the land of Midian, which is actually east of Mount Sinai in the Mount Sinai wilderness. And Moses had left him when he'd come back to Egypt. And so he gets word, probably through a caravan or some sort of messengers, that Moses and the Israelites have made it back into the wilderness. And so he sends word, and he comes and visits Moses there at Mount Sinai. And something really interesting happens because Moses tells him everything that God had done to deliver the people from Egypt. And the story of Exodus says that Jethro puts his faith in Yahweh and begins worshiping Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, which is really important because Jethro is a Midianite. He probably worshiped the Midianite gods. And so what we see right here in this encounter is that God is going to use Moses and he's going to use the Israelites to show other people and to demonstrate to other people who the one true God is, that they now have a mission and a purpose. And so Jethro sort of reveals that, and he worships God, and they offer sacrifices, and then they have this covenant meal. It's a way of formalizing Jethro's belief in God. And then there's this little story that happens in the narrative that's easy for us to skip over, because the next thing that happens is Moses goes up on Mount Sinai. And thunder and lightning and smoke and this booming voice of God gives the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses. And that becomes this defining event in Israel's history. And so we usually just skip ahead to that part. But there's this one little thing that happens that's actually really, really important for us, especially during the season of Lent. And I want to read you the story today. Here's what happens. Jethro and Moses reconnect. And then it says this in Exodus chapter 18. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning until evening. And when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. And whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me. And I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." So Moses becomes this judge for all the people, and we don't know exactly how many people we're talking about. at this point. We don't know how many Israelites are gathered here at Mount Sinai. There's one small indication back in Exodus 12. It says in one little passage that 600,000 men or foot soldiers, and there's military language used there, leave Egypt along with women and children. And so many people think we're talking like 2 to 3 million people, which is a really huge number. It's almost impossible to think about. When you think about that many people, I mean, how could that many people leave you? How could that many people walk through the Red Sea in one day? How could that many people go through the desert and then camp around a mountain and then they're going to all, it says later, worship in a tabernacle? It just seems almost unfathomable. And what's interesting is in that passage, the Hebrew word that's translated for thousand can actually mean a whole bunch of different things. When it says 600,000, this is back in Exodus 12, it sometimes that word for thousand can mean family. It can mean clan. It can mean division. It often, in military connotations, can mean a squadron or a platoon of fighting men. And so most scholars think that thousand is actually not a great translation here. It probably refers to a group, a small grouping of fighting men. So maybe a platoon or a squadron, which would be about a 12 or a dozen men. So really what it's saying is 600 dozen men along with the women and children, which would be about 7,000, which add women and children, might be 25 or 30,000 people. Now, again, we don't know for certain, but even if it was just 25 or 30,000, that feels a lot more manageable when you think about that kind of group coming through the wilderness and camping around this mountain and waiting to hear from God. But that's still a lot of people. That's more than the Pepsi Center can hold, right? And so think about 30,000 people all trying to live without any laws, without any rules, without any police, without any legal system, without any court system. It's just Moses. And so anytime there's a question, anytime there's a debate, anytime they're unsure of what we should do here and where should we camp and whose camp is here and who's going to be there and how are we going to set up the sanitation system and how's the food going to be rationed out and somebody's goat went missing and who stole the goat and are they going to be punished? Like anytime that anything happens, everybody is bringing their questions and their problems and their disputes and their issues to Moses. And Moses is sitting there trying to answer them all. He's trying to manage them all. He's trying to sit there as judge and deal with all of the responsibilities and expectations that are placed on him. And look at what Jethro says back to him next. Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." So Jethro is like the wise sage. And in fact, I love in Hebrew, the word order is often changed. So he sounds kind of like Yoda. Not good what you are doing. Wearing out yourselves and others. Like that's basically what he says. So if we just pick apart what he says here, first of all, he says, what you're doing, it's not good. You remember back in Genesis, when God creates the sun and the moon and then he stands back and he says, it's good. It's good because they're doing what I made them to do. They're giving light and they're separating day and night for everyone. They're doing what I made them to do. And then God makes the land and then he makes animals and he makes birds and then he makes fish and then he makes humans. And he makes all these things. And after each one, he steps back and says, it's good. It's like everything in the creation is doing what it's supposed to. It's functioning in the way that it's supposed to. But Jethro looks at Moses, who's standing there from sun up to sundown, trying to handle everyone's problems and deal with everyone's issues. And he says, that's not good. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not living the way you're supposed to live. You're not functioning in the way that I designed and created you to function. It's not good. You are going to wear yourself out. And the Hebrew verb here that's used for wear out, this is the first time it's used in the Old Testament. And it's used a whole bunch more times, but it's almost never used to refer to humans. It's almost always used to refer to things that happen in nature. In the book of Job, it talks about the mountains being eroded and crumbling and worn out because of the weather and because of time. In the Psalms, there's all kinds of uses of this word. It talks about the leaves that wither in the fall. It talks about the grass that begins to fade away when there's no rain. It talks about figs that shrivel up, that wear out under the hot sun. More often than not, this word is used to describe flowers and plants and trees and shrubs that eventually fade and wither and die because they don't get the attention they need. They don't get the nourishment they need. They don't get the water they need. They don't have the proper soil or the elements, and the hot sun eventually destroy them. And it's almost as if Jethro is looking at Moses and he's saying, that's going to be you. If you don't get the water or the nourishment, if you keep doing all the things that you're doing, it's going to wear you, it's going to kill you. And not just you, he says, it's going to wear all these other people out as well. You think you're helping them and you think you're serving them, but you're not. You are not helping. You're not able to take care of all their things. All the stuff that you're trying to do is not actually helping all the people around you that you think you're helping. You're wearing yourself out and you're wearing them out. And the problem is what? The problem is the work is too heavy. The load you're carrying is too heavy. You're carrying too much. You're trying to do too much, and you're trying to do it all by yourself. You're trying to do it alone. You're doing the work of so many people, and you're carrying all these loads, and you're taking on all these responsibilities and all these expectations, and you're trying to do it yourself, but you can't. It's going to destroy you. You're going to wear yourself out. Now, I wonder, if Jethro was here today, how many of us in this room would he look at? And he'd look at our lives and he'd say the exact same thing. You're wearing yourself out. Let me ask you a few personal questions. I want you to just think about these. First one, Adam already asked at the beginning, what is wearing you out? Maybe when Adam said that, or when I just said that, maybe something came to mind pretty quickly. Kids? Not you kids. Well, yeah, you kids. Did kids come to mind? Are kids wearing you out? Is school wearing you out? Is trying to get A's, is trying to do good in sports wearing you out, right? Is your job wearing you out? Are all the expectations that are placed on you wearing you out? Are the responsibilities you have at home or in your career, managing money and finances and trying to get out of debt? Maybe there's a difficult relationship. Maybe you have too many responsibilities. If that's you, you could be like Moses. Maybe you're trying to do too much. Now, maybe not. There's things that happen in life. There's hard stuff that happens. It's just a part of life that wears us out. Let's be honest. But a lot of times, we get worn out because we try to do too much. A lot of us are carrying too many things. And so that leads to the second question. How much are you carrying? How much are you carrying right now? What expectations are placed on you? What burdens are placed on you? What responsibilities, what pressures, what stresses do you go to bed at night thinking about or wake up in the morning thinking about? How often do you find yourself spinning all these different plates, right? And you feel like you're just moving from one plate to another, trying to keep them all spinning. How many of those things are you trying to carry right now? Here's a third question. Are you wearing others out? When you get home from work, does everyone run and hide, right? Are people learning to avoid you because you're always cranky and grumpy? Are other people, are you constantly making other people feel like they're the problem because you're impatient and you're trying to get them to move faster so that you can get more things done? If I asked your friends, if I asked your roommate, if I asked your spouse, hey, is he a person of peace and contentment right now? Is she like a person of just peace and contentment right now? Would they say that about you, or would they say, man, they're carrying a lot these days? I feel like there's just a lot on their shoulders. I feel like they're trying to do way too much, more than they can probably handle. One more question. Do you project the image that you can do it all by yourself? You see, maybe you're here today and nobody knows that you're worn out, because you're really good at making everyone think you can do everything, and they look at you and say, man, he is Superman or superhuman, and she's like super mom, and I don't know how they get it all done. But it's an illusion that you've bought into and that you're projecting to everyone else, that you can just keep operating at the pace you're operating and doing all the things you're doing. And you've even bought into the illusion yourself. It's not going to ever end in this. I can keep doing it. It's not going to wear me out. But would Jethro say these words to you today? We'll put them back up there. What you're doing is not good. You and all these people around you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy. You cannot do it or handle it alone. Now, Jethro goes on and he gives Moses some really good advice, and I want to read it for you. This is what he says next. He says, listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You, and again, he's talking to Moses, you must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases, they can decide themselves. So this is great advice, right? I mean, this is great leadership advice. Jethro basically says, first, you need to just focus on what's most important, Moses. And what's most important is that you're the representative between the people and God. You represent the people to God, and you represent God to the people. That is your primary role. And you need to understand what your primary role is and focus on that. That's where you can bring the most value, and you can be most important and significant. But second, Moses, he basically says, you need to delegate other tasks to other leaders. All that extra stuff that you're doing, you need to find other people that can do those things. And you'll have to find the right people, right? You have to find people you can trust, people that are capable, people that could actually do these things well. You'll probably even need to train them. And implied in all of this is the sense of, and this is going to take some work, Moses. Like, you're going to have to be intentional about this. It would be easier in the short run to just keep doing things the way you're doing them, right? But you're going to have to step back and be intentional and select some people, probably spend some time training them and let go of some things and trust that they can do all of the stuff that you're doing, that they can do it with you and for you. And if you'll do that, here's the result. Here's what Jethro says. He continues. He says, that, in other words, doing all this, that will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. In other words, when you ask other people for help, it lightens your load. The load is shared. You're not carrying it by yourself anymore. You're taking some of the things that you've been carrying, and you're allowing other people to help you carry them. And that'll be good for you, right? And it's going to be good for everyone else. I love that last line there where he says, all the people will go home satisfy. All these people that you've been thinking that you're helping, that you've been thinking that you're serving, that you think all the extra work that you're doing is actually benefiting, it's not helping them. It's not serving them, right? And we do this all the time. How many working moms and dads say, do you know why I do all this? It's for you, right? It's so that we can have a nice house and you can go to a nice school and we can have a nice vacation and have nice cars and have a nice life. And kids are looking back going, this isn't a nice life, right? You're mad all the time and you're working all the time and you're gone all the time. This isn't helping or serving us. But Jethro says, if you do this, if you lighten your load and if you share it with others and you stop trying to do everything by yourself, the people will go home satisfied. And the word satisfied is great there. It's the Hebrew word shalom. The people will go home and they'll have a sense of peace and well-being. The way that God intended us to live and the way that God intended things to be and the way that families and community and work and life and responsibilities were all supposed to be lived out. It'll all happen the way it's supposed to if you're willing to follow this advice and stop trying to do it all on your own. Now, Moses follows Jethro's advice and we won't read the rest of it, but it basically works. And there's this amazing leadership lesson in this, right? It's a leadership or a management lesson that if you involve other people in trying to do the things that you're always trying to do and you delegate well, that it's good leadership and things get done much better. But I don't think this is primarily about strategic leadership. I mean, this isn't Jethro coming to Moses saying, Moses, you are not maximizing your potential efficiency right now, and so we need to change some things. You're putting a lot of time into this, and you don't have a good ROI on your time, and so we need to like talk about how you're doing this and make some good strategic decisions. That's not what Jethro says. Jethro just looks at Moses and says, you're wearing yourself out. You're wearing everybody else out. You're trying to carry too much. And you're trying to do too much. And you can't keep doing this by yourself. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been trying to tell you the same thing. Maybe he's been saying it for a while and you've been ignoring him. Or maybe you haven't been listening. Or maybe you've been so focused on all the stuff that you just haven't heard him. Or maybe you've come to a point in your life where you know you're wearing out and you know you're doing too much and it's killing you, but you don't know how to stop and you don't know how to change and you know it's probably going to require radical change, but you just don't even know where to begin. Well, let me just kind of wrap up with a few suggestions. First suggestion, number one, admit that you're worn out. You got to start with admitting it. You got to admit it to yourself, and then I think you should admit it out loud to someone else, a spouse, a boss, a coworker, a friend. Find someone and say, I'm wearing myself out, and if I don't change something, this is what's going to happen. And this is one of the hardest things to do. I have a friend that I see regularly, and I just found out that he's at the breaking point, and his family is struggling, and he's going to have to quit his job for a while and get some serious help. And he just came to this point where it was, I mean, he was at the breaking point, and right now, it's a serious issue. And when I talked to him, he said that he knew this was happening 6 months ago. And I stepped back and said, well, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you tell anyone? Why didn't you raise your hand at that point and say, this is killing me. I can't keep doing it. Because I look at his life now and I realize if he had done something at that point, it wouldn't have gotten as bad as it's gotten now. He wouldn't have to make the serious changes he's making now if he had just admitted it at that point. But something at that point inside of him said, no, keep going. Don't quit. Work hard. You can do this. Just keep trying to do it. Which leads to the second suggestion. Number two, believe that you cannot do it all. You have to believe, and I have to believe, we can't do it all, which is the opposite of the American creed. Yes, you can, right? I mean, that's what we're told all our lives. You can do anything if you just set your mind to it. No, you can't. You can't, unless you want to end up like that. And yet we buy into this idea that we can just keep doing it all and we can keep managing it all. You know what we want to be like? We want to be like this tree. It's nice and green and perfect. And it doesn't need any water. And if it rains and snows, and if you just throw it on the ground, it's still nice and green. Like, it survives everything. This tree isn't real. That's not the way it works. We can't be like that. But we think we can, right? We think we can do it all. We think the sun can beat down on us and we don't need nourishment and we don't need rest and we can just take everything that's thrown at us and we can just keep doing it and keep working and everything will be perfect. But this isn't real. That's not real life. And it's tough because some of us have a personality and a wiring, and God's actually gifted us to be able to accomplish and do a lot of things. And God put that in you, and that's great. But we can turn that into an idol, and it can drive us straight into the grave. If we keep believing, we can just keep doing it all. You've got to believe, and I've got to believe, that we can't do it all first before anything's going to change. So here's the third thing. Number three, lighten your load. Lighten your load. We need to figure out how to stop doing some of the things that we're doing. If you can't do it all and you're carrying too much, then the easiest thing to do is stop carrying so much. Stop spinning so many plates. Stop trying to do it all. We did a backpacking trip a few years ago here in New Denver Church, and somebody who's part of our church invited their brother to come with us, and he came with us, and he was a great guy, kind of a macho, like, I can do it all guy, and he had never been backpacking, and so I talked to him about what to pack, and I gave him a packing list and everything, and he showed up at the trailhead, and his backpack was twice as big as mine. I mean, and he was smaller than me, and he had this massive backpack, and I looked at him, and I was like, man, you are carrying way too much. That is going to kill you. Like, we're only going for 2 nights. I don't know what you have in there, but you have way too much stuff. And it's going to kill you on the trail. Your back is going to be so worn out in a few hours. And he was like, no, I can carry it all, and I need all this stuff. And then he opened his backpack, and he pulled out an axe. And I said, why do you have an axe? And he said, well, to chop the wood up for the fire, and in case we run into a grizzly bear. First of all, we don't need an axe to get wood for the fire. Second of all, there's no grizzlies in Colorado. Third of all, if there were, an axe probably wouldn't help. But he was determined to carry this axe in his backpack. And he did. And he regretted it by the end of the trip because he never used it. You see, he wanted to carry something that was so unnecessary that he didn't need to carry. And I wonder how many of us are carrying things, are doing things, are filling our schedules with things, are filling our hearts with expectations and stresses and stuff that we don't need to be carrying. So how do you need to lighten your load? That's the third thing. Here's the fourth thing. Number four, say these words. I need help. I need help. It's not enough to admit that we're worn out. And it's not enough to even lighten our load. We have to ask other people to help us out, because there's some things that need to get done. And so we just need to find other people and ask them. And this is one of the hardest things to say. I think the two hardest things to say are, I'm sorry, and I need help. And so to be able to say, I'm worn out, and this is where I'm heading, or I'm there, like I'm there, and I need help. I'm carrying way too much. Can anyone help me carry all of these things? Would you consider today having a conversation with one other person where you say, here's where I'm feeling worn out, and here's where I need help? And maybe the other person isn't even the person to give you the help, but just to begin the conversation to say, here's where I need help. And then here's the fifth thing that's connected. Number five, depend on others. Depend on others. You don't need to just ask for help. You need to depend on other people to actually give it. You got to trust them. I can imagine Moses looking back at Jethro and saying, you don't understand, Jethro. Nobody else is as good of a judge as I am. Nobody else can do this the way I can do. I don't think I can find anyone. And I can see Jethro like rolling his eyes saying, do you know how arrogant that sounds? To think that you're the only one that can do all of this? Do you not see how you're wearing yourself out and everyone around you? And do you not understand that I didn't rescue a person, I rescued a community of people who are supposed to be interdependent upon one another and carry one another's burdens and be there for one another to lighten one another's load? And it's the same with us today. And so if you'd say, I don't know if I have many people in my life like that. I don't have friends that are like that. I don't have a community faith. Maybe you're even new to Denver. Maybe that needs to be your priority. Finding people in your life that you can go to and say, I'm worn out. I'm tired. I'm about to break. And I need help. And we need to be a community of faith where at any moment, if any single one of us was to raise our hand and be like, I'm worn out and I need help, 5, 10, 20, 30 people run in and say, what can we do? What can we do? How can we bear each other's burdens and share the load and be the community of faith that God designed us to be? He created us. That's what it means to function as a community of faith. So let me just ask the first question one more time. What's wearing you out right now? And what do you need to do about it today? Let me pray. Father God, we all carry loads and burdens, and so I just pray that those things that we're carrying right now that feel heavy, and for some of us it's work, for some of us it's things that crowd out our schedule, for some of us it's expectations that others have placed on us, for some of us it's expectations we've placed on ourselves. Maybe it's just hard stuff that's happened in the last week or two that we don't even know how to process or deal with, and it just feels like this weight that's on our shoulders. Help us today as we sing these words and as we gather as a community to take those weights and take those burdens and somehow just hand them to you, hand them to one another, and be a community that walks this journey together. We pray all this in your name. Amen. Amen.